invite you to open your Bibles to James chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 2 through 12. So that's James chapter 1, verses 2 through 12. We're going to be looking at rejoicing in our trials. Let's read the scripture that's before us. James chapter 1, 2 through 12. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let that endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect what he receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, but a brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. And the rich man is to glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass he will pass away. For the sun rises and scorches the wind and the withers of the grass. The flower falls off and the beauty of its appearance destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trials, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let's pray. God Almighty, as we look at these scriptures, Father, we just ask you that you would help us to hear from your word, Lord God. We ask you that as we look at these scriptures, that we would look at these persevering trials, Lord God, and look to them as we need to seek them as joy in our life, Father. So again, we ask you for the help of your Holy Spirit to be with us now, and we commit this time to you in your precious name. Amen. We want to look at trials this morning and look at them not as thinking as though they are tribulations, but they are testings in our life. We want to see them through how God would want us to see them. Not as a punishment or a curse against ourselves, but we must be prompted by pure joy. Verse 2 says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." I don't think anybody has a get-out-of-free trial card or get to go past that $200 spot on Monopoly that will never experience any trials. So it's not if, it's when we come into trials. So what kind of trials are in our life? What are you guys going through now? Could it be family problems? Could be money problems? Could be dealing with our children? God, how come they're not listening to me? Or the Lord. It could be sickness. It could be marriage problems with our spouse. It could be death. But God has grace to pour out on the believer during those trial times. How about when we're young? When we're in our young 20s or coming out of, you know, we can do anything. We want to be like David and Goliath. We can take that sling and smash the giant and slay him. We're invincible. Or we could be like Daniel in the lion's den, though God kept the mouse, I think, closed, but we think that we're invincible. But as we continue to grow up in the Lord, we realize more and more God's grace is on our life. Have you ever been in a fight? Back, way back in maybe high school, or on the playground of the kids wanting to take someone's lunch money? Maybe some bullies were here. So you take your stance. You want to put up your fist and be able to defend yourself. My sister Mary was in quite a few fights when she was young. She loved to tackle the boys and get them in trouble and win. So I was the quiet one. I'm like, no, don't hurt anybody. Let's go home. Mary's like, no, let's go fight them. Okay. So we must rejoice in our trials. 1 Peter, let's look that up. 1 Peter 1:6. Also tells us, First 1 Peter 1:6, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, that you may suffer. If necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. So in here, we're also told to greatly rejoice. So how do we greatly rejoice in these different circumstances that come down our pike? How do we find the joy in these trials? In verse 3, knowing that the testing of our faith produces endurance. There's a pathway to maturity when we go through these things with the Lord Jesus Christ. I also thought of, how do we grow in Christ? Is it on the mountaintops when we're having a good time? Or is it in the valleys, going through the tough time and then relying on the Lord Jesus for his strength? How did we learn to ride a bike when we were young? We take the training wheels off, and mom and dad just slowly guiding the bike. And then if you realize, you look back and you're like, oh, they're not there anymore. You start to waver, you might fall down. But it's something that you enjoy, you get back up and you try to ride the bike again. You fall down, you continue to do that to try and master the riding a bike and master the balance. What about, too, when you're growing up? Here, if you want to take guitar or take piano, I took piano lessons for years, and then I remember, you know, practice, practice, practice. And it's like, I don't want to practice. But thank God for mom and dad telling me to continue to do that, so I'm able to play the piano a little bit today. But even guitar, you start using your guitar, your frets, your fingers start get on the strings, and then they might have some calluses. But if you enjoy doing the guitar, you continue to do that. You continue to persevere through that. And eventually you can probably learn some notes, and then you're shocked when you can actually sing a song or with your guitar. So again, we learn through things. I can remember being very, very young, and I stuck a wire in a socket, and I decided to bite it. So, yeah. But I was very, very young. So I was like 4 or 5, according to mom. So, but again, you learn not to do that ever again. That I didn't do. So again, playing with firecrackers. I remember playing with firecrackers with our gang over on Fifth Street. And next thing you know, the field is on fire. So thank God we had people that came over. We got, you know, we didn't call the fire department. We just got rugs and got it out. So then you realize that that can be very dangerous to do, and not to do it again. The only thing I didn't learn was about going out on the bay when it was frozen. Every single year, I went out on the bay, and I went through it. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what happens when they're going to see me again when I get home and I'm totally filled? You know, thank God I came back up through the ice where the hole was. But every year I went back out on that ice and just, you saw it rocking and waving. And I'm like, okay, this is fun. And then, right through. I remember going to the bank one time and I had rolled all my coins and was going to put that in. So I put it in the little machine that takes the thing, actually went underneath the ground. But guess what? It didn't come out on the other side. So there's a little note that's supposed to be there that says, you know, no coins in the automatic teller. So that was very embarrassing, because then, you know, you had to go inside the bank, they had to go get the thing, and I'm like, that's pretty embarrassing. So again, locking yourself out of the car, how many people have locked themselves out of the car? And then you're going to say, okay, every time I get out of this car, I'm taking my keys. That way I won't get in trouble. Or if you think, my wife, she, you know, I'm running into someplace really quick, I think I'm going to be quick, I leave the phone in the car, and then next thing you know, I'm there for 2 hours ministering or talking to somebody, and then you get home. Where have you been? I have been trying to call you. I'm like, okay. So no matter where I go, keys come out of the car, phone comes out of the car, even if you think it's going to be 2 minutes, just so I don't get in trouble with my wife. We learn from our circumstances. I even thought again this morning when we first got the gaming Atari. How many people had Atari when they were young? We had that thing, and you had the controller, and then I was getting like corners of welts in the corner of holding it like all day, all night. Painfulness of growing up. But again, we learn from our mistakes as we grow up. Have you ever taken a splinter out of your hand? Isn't it amazing that little splinter, how you can't tie your shoes if it's in the proper place. You can't button without it hurting. But you have to take it out. If you don't take it out, what would happen? Get infected. And then you probably got to go to the doctors and get it lanced off. What about taking it out of a screaming child? Here you don't want to do it because there's kids screaming, you know, don't touch, they're going to hurt. I remember doing that with Nathaniel. But you know it has to come out because later it's going to get more infected, even though the child may not know that. So God also may need to cut things out of our own life, things that don't belong there. Or he might also need a chisel. We learned that at the Institute, that we're almost like a diamond in the rough, and God is chiseling ourselves to become more Christ-like in our daily walk. So he continues to chisel our self into the Lord's perfect plan. So all of us have experienced pain and trials. Faith is like gold. It stands the test of time, even in the fire. It does not turn to ashes when it's melted, but it just melts. And then God can remold that when cooled, but it is still gold, steadfastness and endurance. So no matter what you go through, the Lord Jesus Christ is with you during those times. Verse 4 tells us, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So you know the best way to do things is just say, okay, God, have your way with me. Mold me in the ways that you want me to be. Trials can be faced with joy because infused with faith, perseverance results, and perseverance, when goes to full term, will develop into a mature Christian, all that God wants him to be. So when you finally get that splinter out, if you've been sitting there for a half an hour, 45 minutes, and you finally see that splinter on the end of the pin, you're like, oh, thank God, it's out, it's done. So we need to let God work during those circumstances and ask God for wisdom to know what we're going through. Verse 5, but if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So when we ask the Lord Jesus Christ, can we have some wisdom here, Lord God? He will give it generously. He won't hold it back. He loves who we are. He knows who he's created, and he'll be glad to do that. Ask God for understanding and knowledge from him. If there's godly people in your life, so you can even share with them, hey, I'm going through this struggle. I'm not sure what's going on here, but maybe we can pray together, and maybe there'll be some wisdom from that godly person. But make sure it's a really godly person who's looking at your own interests, but also looking at the Lord's. So we need to think, trials can help me to know that I can't do it alone. We're also being reminded that we do need God in our lives. It's crazy to think, sometimes you go through the day and you're like, wow, this is a pretty good day. I did pretty good today, not bad. But when things go wrong, as soon as we're like that, we're like, God, why? Why are you doing this to me? It's not going the way I planned. Then we're ready to blame him. But again, who's us to question God on what he's doing in our lives? So we can ask for the Lord Jesus to give us wisdom at any time. Verses 6, 7, and 8. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For a man ought not to expect what he received anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So we can't say, oh, the Lord's not going to help me because he doesn't care about me. We can't say he won't listen to me, or I have too many sins that he'll never want to talk to me. That's not true. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly who you are. He created you in your inmost being before the foundation of the world. That's something to ponder about. God knew who you were before the foundation of the world, before Genesis. He knew exactly who you're going to be. He knew exactly who you're going to, you know, become, who you're going to marry, what job you're going to have in life. That was already worked out. Let's go over to Mark chapter 9. I want to talk about a guy who said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 27. And when they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. Immediately when they entered the crowd and saw him, they were amazed and began running up to Jesus to greet him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing with them?" One of the crowd answered, "Teacher, I have brought you my son, possessed with an evil spirit that's made him mute. Whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground, causes him to foam at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast him out, but they couldn't do it." Then he answered them and said, "Oh, you unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me." They brought the boy to him, and when they saw him, he immediately, the spirit, threw him down in convulsion, and falling to the ground and beginning to roll around and foaming at the mouth. He said to the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" He said, "From childbirth. It has often thrown him into the fire, into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, please take pity on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible who believes." Immediately the father cried out and said, "I do believe, help my unbelief." Then Jesus saw the crowd was rapidly gathering. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You deaf and mute spirit, I command you to come out of him and do not re-enter him again." After crying out, throwing him into a terrible convulsion, it came out. The boy came so much like a corpse that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus went over, took him by the hand, and raised him, and the boy got up. So even the father, here we have this belief in our Lord Jesus Christ that he can do anything, but there might be a little bit of doubt saying, "Well, I'm not sure if you can do it. So Lord, I believe, but please help me with my unbelief. God, I'm going through this trial. Please help me to get through this. I'm not quite sure what you're doing, but please help me to understand." So it's amazing, too, that when God told the evil spirit to come out, there was no big argument or hours or anything like that. God just said, "Be removed," and a little convulsion, and the spirit came out. So we need to ask the Lord Jesus again to give us the wisdom to understand what he's doing in our lives during those difficult times. And help God. "God, I'm not sure if I completely believe that, but please help my unbelief to believe that you are God and that you will work things out according to your will." So he does love you. He made you. He knows all about you. He probably knows you better than you know yourself. We also see in verses 9 through 11, let's read those. "But the brother of humble circumstances is to the glory of his high position, and to the rich man is the glory of his humiliation, because like flowering grass, it will soon pass away. For the sun dries up, the scorching wind, and withers the grass. If flowers fall off, and the beauty of his appearance is destroyed, so is the rich man in the midst of pursuit that will fade away." No matter what happens in this life, we've come into this world, rich and poor, this entire human race. When we're born into this world, we come in with nothing. When we leave this world, are we taking anything with us? No. We will leave with nothing. All of us, the entire human race, rich and poor. And we don't need to start to compare with one another. "Oh, well, look at this family over here. They're doing very perfectly well." If you look on Facebook, you see all the good stuff that people have been doing. You don't see any of the bad stuff that's going on in their lives. And let me tell you that it's there. No one has this free ride. So we don't need to start comparing. You just need to look at ourselves and saying, "God, what do you have for me in this situation?" We don't want to be like that son where the prodigal son left, but the one son did not. And when the son returned, the other son said, "But Father, I've been with you all along. What are you doing here?" We don't need to be starting to complain and compare. "What about me? How come that? How come this? I've been here serving you." Who can better know than the eternal God? And us asking why. Here I think if you're 16 or 21, we're asking God why. Here you have the eternal God, the God that knows everything. And you have a 16-year-old. How long has a 16-year-old been living? Smidgen? 21? And then, God, why? You're going to ask the eternal God, why? Even in our 30s or 40s, we're still going to do that? Look at Job, what Job went through. And then questioning God and questioning God and questioning God over and over and over. And then finally, in Job 38 and 39, if we ever get too big for our britches and we're complaining to the Lord Jesus Christ, just go to the book of Job, open up to 38 and 39, and then God says, where were you when I made the foundations of the world? Where were you when I put the stars in the sky? And for two whole chapters, he goes on, where were you when this happened? Where were you when that happened? And then when he gets to, I love this part, when he finally gets to chapter 40, after God goes all through these things that what he's done, then Job answers the Lord and says, behold, I am insignificant. What can I reply to you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, and I will not answer no more. Even twice, I will not add it no more. So Job realized, okay, God, help me through this difficult trial, this difficult time. And the Lord will get you through. So again, if you're ever going through a hard time, open up the book of Job and read that. It's a fantastic book. So again, don't compare our lives with other people. We need to look at our own with the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done there. And as I said, when the gain of life is over, we take nothing back to the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that we take back as believers is all those things that we've done for him in the kingdom here. Whether it's you clothed somebody, gave someone bread or food, bringing people to the Lord, your treasures are in heaven. So thank God we can do that. And then verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trials. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So after this whole life is over, and our earthly life is over, we get to be before the Lord Jesus Christ, for those again who know Jesus Christ. And hopefully we'll hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. You may enter my kingdom. God blesses those who perseveres under trials. The Christians who steadfastly endure the trials and has stood up the test will receive the crown of life. And when that crown is given to us, some people say we'll put it again back down at Jesus' feet for what he's done for us. For the love of God enables us believers to undergo trials to rest confidently in him. Their steadfastness reveals that their love to God. We need to continue to ask for faith, for hope, and wisdom. Love brings only to those blessings the wisdom and blessing to know Christ in a personal way, going through those trials together with the Lord Jesus Christ. And after we have run the race, the crown of life is ours, the eternal life. How many people remember, again, the footprints in the sand? And there's times where you only see one set of footprints. And the Lord says, that's the times when I carried you. Those are good things to be reminded of, that God carries us through the storm also, and that he's always there with us no matter what. And this time is, again, will be fading. This time will be gone, and then we'll be able to spend paradise with him forever and ever, amen. In James 1:17, a little bit further down where we are, every good thing is given. Every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadows. So we have to remember, all of the stuff that we have here on earth is given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Our family, our friends, our job, our money, our spouse, our children, our homes that we shelter in. The list goes on and on and on. all this stuff is all from the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ knows what he did when he bought you on the cross. Yes, he bought you. And you know what? God does not have a return policy. Hallelujah. You don't discuss God. He loves you. He cares for you in an intimate way. He does know all your sins. He knows them from the past. He knows them from the present. And he knows all that you're going to do in the future. And he still went to the cross for you. He paid for it. It's already done by the blood of his son. It's all paid in full. Amen? Hallelujah? Hallelujah. So in order to attain Christian maturity, it is essential to have a firm foundation in Christ. The believer must be able to stand with confidence. He dare not be pushed down by trials, and a believer can stand by pursuing God, perceiving God's thoughts, and practicing to be Christ-like in this world. We have to remember, we have to stand together with one another. If you have one person, or it's very easy to push that person over, but when you have a group of believers that loves us and cares for us, and we can share in our trials, and then when there's a group of us standing in prayer, it's more people that are there, and you're more apt not to fall. But thank God we have believers that we can ask for help, and they can help us through that, along with the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember, ask for wisdom from the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what you're going through. You don't have to find that secret closet either to pray. You can just right there, wherever you are, in the car, at home, or if you're in ShopRite or the mall, you can ask the Lord right then and there, God, help me to get through this, whatever it might be. Maybe God's even telling you to witness to somebody that's there. Hey, what's different in your life? God, give me the boldness to share what you've done. So remember, we have an eternal God who knows everything in this world. He knows exactly who you are. And we don't need to question the Lord. Just ask him for that wisdom and help us to get through. So we need to say, Lord, I trust in you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your many blessings, Lord. God, we ask you that as we go through these different trials in our lives, that we be reminded of what you've done for us. Reminding us, Lord God, that you did buy us. You purchased us with Christ's blood. And that in you, Lord God, we have wisdom. We have understanding and knowledge. In you, Father, we can lay our firm foundation in Jesus Christ. That we can stand with you, Lord Jesus. So, Father, we ask you that no matter what we're going through right now, Lord God, we ask you that you take these things that we're worried about or the things that we're not sure what you're doing, that we can place these things at the foot of the cross. We ask, Lord God, that you work through them by the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, there's times where we look back on our life and we look, okay, Lord, I know why you had me go through this. I learned to trust in you. Help us not to take back these different problems in our own lives, but again, just leave them with you, Lord God. So continue, Lord Jesus, to fill us with your Holy Spirit and to grant us your wisdom each and every day. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.